For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply. See ebaymotors.com.
The Believe Podcast Network presents the FCS Football Podcast with Joe DeLeon.
Well, let's get fat.
And Sean.
As promised, we're kicking off the 2022 offseason with our first fantastic interview. Throughout the 2022 offseason, we're going to be speaking to a number of current players, coaches, former FCS players, and also guys that are training for the NFL. Today's first guest that will be featured on the FCS Football Podcast with Joe DeLeon and Sean Anderson is PJ Burkhalter, who is a multi-time FCS All-American and a dominant offensive lineman from Nichols. Before we get to that interview, though, folks, I do have to tell you about BetOnline. BetOnline would like to wish you a happy new betting year as we continue our march to the playoffs and beyond for the NFL. BetOnline remains the number one spot for all of your sports wagering action for 2022. New year and new updated desktop and mobile website to sign up today and receive your 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit. Just use our promo code BELIEVE to get started. From basketball, football, hockey, boxing, and UFC right to your favorite Vegas casino games, don't wait to take advantage of all the amazing offers available for 2022. BetOnline is the fastest and easiest way to wager on all of your favorite sports. BetOnline, where the game starts. Now let's get to that conversation with PJ Burkhalter. So now joining us for our first offseason interview is Nichols offensive lineman PJ Burkhalter, the three-time All-American from Nichols. PJ, how's everything going for you, man? You enjoying the time off from the season and getting ready for the NFL?
Yeah, it's been going good. I've been working out, trying to stay in shape, going to the CGS tomorrow, so I'm getting ready for that. But yeah, it's been good.
So what have you been, like, where have you been training at? Have you determined which gym you're going to be heading to and all that stuff, or are you just training at school still?
No, I'm going to D1 training in Gonzales, about an hour away from Thibodeau. So one of my teammates, Jay Joseph, the right tackle, he going there. So, you know, I'm going to have somebody there to work out with me too. So,
yeah, when I did my combine prep, there were like four pro day prep. I wasn't going to the combine, but Sean laughs at that because he knows it sounds so
I shouldn't
obnoxious.
Be laughing. I was just done. I just finished.
Right.
Nothing.
But I had like four or five Rhode Island guys there with me. So that stuff made it so much better having all those guys there. Right. And it just made it so much more entertaining having some, familiar faces there and all that good stuff.
Yes, sir.
So PJ, I want to get into first thing. You're on this journey. You're heading to the NFL most likely. And there's all these smaller leagues that are popping up. So there's so many opportunities for guys like you to get that opportunity to keep playing. Flipping things all the way to back when you were being recruited and when you were stepping into a position to play at the next level, what was your recruitment like? How did you end up going to an FCS program?
So I had some interest from big schools like LSU and Mississippi State and UL, University of Louisiana Lafayette. And, you know, I had Nichols and I had some swag schools like Alcorn, and I had some old teams that's in our conference, like Southeastern. But I really wasn't recruited hard like that. I chose Nichols because of Coach Tim Rebo. He was his first year coming in. He a great dude. He convinced me. And then when I came on my official visit to Thibodeau, I mean, it just felt like home. It felt like my town of Franklinton. A small, you know, great community. And then Coach Lee Rousseau, my offensive line coach, he does a great job with, you know, coaching and been coaching me up for the past 7 years. So it was really about them two and also the community.
Were you confident that you were going to play early on when you got there? Because I know a lot of guys, when they go in, they got to put on a bunch of weight. They got to get stronger, work on their feet, you know, all that stuff. But were you confident as soon as you showed up that you'd be vying for reps?
I was, because, you know, before Coach Rubio got here, I think we had like the longest losing streak in college football. I think it was like they went like 0-20, whatever it was, for like two, three years straight. Yeah. So I think I had a chance coming in, but he told me, like, Coach Lee, he kept it real with me. You know, you got to come in and work. You got to prove that you belong. So, and I did. But, you know, my first 2 years, I didn't play because I had a kidney issue. So I had to sit my 2 years. And 15 through 17, and then I came back in 17, and then that's when I started my 5 years.
They must have given you like a medical redshirt or something for that, right?
Yeah, I had a medical redshirt, and then COVID hit, so I had.
Oh yeah.
So you've been there for what, 7 years?
Yeah, I got here in 2015. Wow. So I had to sit out 2 years, right before my first day of fall camp. The team doctor had called me and my mom and said I could never play football again. I was done. I just kept working, man.
Wait, so how did things translate from being told that you were never going to play again? Like, we had a teammate, LB Mack, who right now he's same shoes as you. He's preparing for an opportunity to play at the next level. Messed up his neck. Doctors told him he's done. And now he got to finish and play his last season. So, like, how did that end up happening where told you you were done and here you are, three-time All-American?
Yeah, so the spring of high school is going to my senior year, had a spring game. And after the spring game, I went to the bathroom and I was urinating blood.
Wow. And,
as a, you know, 16, 17-year-old kid, you're like, man, what's going on? So, you know, the first thing you do, you call your mama or your dad, you know. And, came to find out I had low kidney function. I had to sit my whole the whole summer, so I couldn't do that because I was getting evaluated and stuff. But my doctor in New Orleans cleared me to play my senior season. Didn't have problems, but, you know, when I got the Nichols, the team doctor just was, like, scared of dehydration or getting hit in it or something like that. And then he made the decision, you know, not to clear me. But them 2 years, I started going to a CrossFit gym. I lost, like, 50, 60 pounds, and come to find out, the gym I was going to, he owned, so he was always at the CrossFit classes, and he seen how much weight I lost and how good I was doing. And at the end of the 16th season, you know, Coach Rebo called me back in and said, "I'm gonna give you a shot." So it was on after that.
So you're, you know, you mentioned that before you came in and you made that decision to go to Nichols, that they were on that 20 game losing streak, and Sean and I played on some rough teams, and we came into a program that was also not winning. And, you know, our decisions were really based on getting that opportunity to get on the field early. I was granted that ability to play early on my freshman year. What was your reasoning, despite coming into a program that had a long losing streak, that you made that decision to pick Nichols?
Again, it just felt like home, you know. When I got down here, my recruiting visit, it was easy. I didn't really even have to think about it. When I seen campus, when I seen the stadium, when I got to interact with Coach Tim Rebo and Coach Lee, it was easy for me.
No, you're good.
I just felt like it was a special place, you know. Coach Rebo, he sold the message to me. Coach Lee sold the message. And I just believed them. And then what we did over the past 7 years, man, it's incredible. So, yeah.
So looking back at it now, going from a soon to be former FCS player, and you see all the invites, and you're looking at kind of the FBS bowl games, like, what's your reflection on how the FCS, in your opinion, has compared to the FBS? And I know we really comparison is not a fair thing to do, but, you know, spending a lot of time in the FCS, what have your reflections been on the conference itself?
No, I think it's been great. You got a lot of players that get drafted out of the FCS. You know, FBS always going to be FBS, but I think FCS is right there with them. So yeah.
You know, on that note, and you know, talking about some of that difference in level of play, you saw a lot of guys during COVID. Right when that stuff happened, they entered the portal. They hopped right in the portal and they moved up. Like, you know, Bailey Zappe went on to Western Kentucky. He ended up having a huge final part to his career, and now he's going to the Senior Bowl. Did you at all consider doing that at any point, or were you set on sticking around at Nichols?
I did think about it, but at the end of the day, I'm a loyal guy. I wanted to be loyal to my teammates at Nichols. I wanted to finish what we had started, and I wanted to be loyal to the university and Coach Lee. Coach Lee is my offensive line coach, and we just have a great relationship. And I think he one of the best coaches in the country. And Coach Tim Rubo is also. So it was very hard for me. I thought about it. You know, it kept me up at night. But at the end of the day, I came back to loyalty and what they did for me when I wasn't on the field producing for them. So yeah.
Now, you said loyal a couple times, and you know, when you're an offensive lineman, that's kind of one of those things that you kind of gets embedded in you. Are there any other characteristics or traits of being an offensive lineman that you really appreciate or have come to appreciate in college?
I just think, like, you know, you got these some receivers that want to be in the camera all the time. I just like the old lineman who, you know, who don't have the armbands on, you know, during the game, you know, just come out there right. Like an old fashioned, you know, no sleeves, you know, just ankles taping and wrist taping, and let's get it on. That's what I appreciate. I don't like the, you know, all the extra stuff. So yeah, and just being a good teammate, keeping ego at the door, being coachable, stuff like our offensive linemen is. So yeah.
Did you get real close with your other offensive linemen, kind of in your class, or that you play with over the years? Because I know. Yeah, we had like four in my group that we all were just, I mean, tight as nails. So I'm assuming it's like that way across the board, but it's always fun to see other offensive linemen have that group too.
We always cutting up in the group chat and text messages or Snapchat. We always cooking together, you know, down here in Louisiana, you know, we always looking for something to cook, you know, or getting together. So, yeah, I mean, I got teammates like Jair Joseph, who was a all-conference automatic tackle, you know, left tackle. Mark Bartholomew, you know, the center, Evan Roussel, Bailey Trusty, Zach McKinn, all them great guys.
Now, when you guys went out for like O-line dinners, I'm almost certain that you guys did, as we did. Did you guys let specialists come along? Because I don't think we had any specialists.
No, I never received the invite.
Or even skills players also.
We had like the running backs. Sometimes.
Okay, I guess, yeah.
Definitely the quarterbacks. I think we had a few D line backs and something.
Oh, you're kidding! Oh, that's
yeah.
I got invited to zero D line team dinner. I got invited to zero.
The dynamic was not great. Run out.
Our quarterback used to take us out every Thursday. Chase 4K. He used to take us out every Thursday. Rotolo's Pizzeria, and he used to spend about $150 on pieces and wings for us. So,
oh, nice.
Yeah, it was easy. Yeah, it was easy to play ball for him.
I have a really stupid question. So the thing that I was roommates with Sean in college, so I know him very well. And one of the things that I know is Sean's favorite thing, and as well as our other offensive linemen at Rhode Island, they're very fond of sitting. So like whenever we went somewhere, they're always looking for a chair. I'm curious to get your thoughts on sitting as an offensive lineman. Is it as hyped up as most linemen have seen?
It is definitely.
You go to the party, you find the couch. You go to the party, you find the wall. You just post it up.
You start sweating.
Yeah. Oh, you can't be out there for too long. You just drenched. I'm gonna bring a backup clothes with me. No.
Knees start hurting. You know.
Oh God, I've been standing all day. Hey, Joe's always so baffled about it. I'm like, Joe, you guys are. I'm not, I know specialists are real players, but you're like, you go out, you're a little early, you get your stretch in, and then most of the day you guys are just having fun. Whereas right. we're just on our legs the whole day. And it's just like, if we're going to a party or a bar, I'm like, let's just sit down, man. Can we just sit down?
Well, a lot more of it was that if I went somewhere with Sean, it was one, if I needed to find him, I would just go look for the couch and be like, oh, look, there's the entire offensive line.
Yeah.
The other thing too was, whenever we had to like leave or go somewhere, it would be like, nah, I sat down, man. We're here for another 30 minutes. So getting back to being, more focused questions. You started after dealing with that adversity, you get into the starting lineup, you're doing really well. And then you really, really start to progress into this guy that is a recognizable name in terms of being a consistent All-American. I remember when Sean and I first started doing the show, your name was always one that we always recognized. And I even recall talking about you on the show when we first started out doing it, when we were still in college. What went into that development? Like, what did you focus on in that period of time that helped you go from being a starting offensive lineman to an All-American?
I give everything to Coach Lee, my offensive line coach. Again, he's incredible. And, being there 7 years, he still coached me like I was a freshman. So development never ends for a player, an athlete. So he's just really just focusing in. And in them two years, I had time to mature as a man, and I observed like what to do, what not to do, being on time for weights, going to class, showing up to meetings early, always bringing a notebook to meetings, writing down notes and stuff. So that was really big for me. And I think that's the difference of me becoming a good player into an All-American player every year. So I always found different stuff in my game to fix. I still got improvement to fix. But yeah, man, just never being satisfied and always, always trying to get better. And and my teammates, man, you got some good players that's right there with you every day, so yeah.
PJ, which lineman in the pros or college do you try to emulate, if there are any? And then additionally, which offensive lineman have you just kind of looked up to for your career, as a kid watching football, all that stuff? Are there any that you kind of, yeah.
So mine is Quentin Nelson.
Okay.
I try to model my game at the head. He's a mauler. I try to be a mauler. He like jump setting and doing all the stuff like that. So I try to my game like him. So yeah.
Oh, interesting. I was always a Tyron Smith guy, and then Trent Williams here in DC. They were always big for me. So it's always fun to see.
What position you play?
Tackle.
Oh yeah. I got
yeah,
you.
Yeah. So is it? It's always because you're talking with other tackle. Okay, I'm not tall. I'm not tall now. Okay.
Yeah, you're 6'6".
All right, over there.
What were you saying? I didn't mean to cut you off.
No, I was saying it's always fun to talk about which dudes you like that are in the NFL. Like who had a really good game. The Lane Johnson was like teach tape for all of 2018 for us. Just him doing all that. Were there any were there any pro teams or pro schemes that you guys were watching in the film room that was aside from your own to get a kind of break from just the monotony of just the college style stuff?
I think we did a lot of Colts film.
Yeah,
I think that was really it. I think Colts. We watched some Eagles. We really like watched like techniques of what they did. We took some scheme stuff like some screens from the Colts, like screens what they did. But other than that, it was just more of a technique.
I mean, that's a good team to take some scheme from, though. They know how to do it.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
Yeah, they know how to do it.
They're really good. I don't have an NFL team that I watch. I just watch good offensive linemen play. So, yeah. I can't even watch football like a regular person because I'm always just looking at the offensive linemen.
That's what when the NFL top 100 comes out, I comb through whatever the offensive linemen are, and then I'll get to it. I'm just like, all right, let's see what highlights they pulled from me. I'm just sitting there.
I'm the same way.
So, speaking on that, offensive line play, I feel like every position has like one part of the game that they just absolutely love, that they're obsessed with. I obviously didn't really have that because all I did was snap and try not to get hit while I was running downfield. But for you as a lineman, like, what was the one thing that when you knew a certain play was called that you're just like, oh man, I'm excited to do this on this play?
Inside zone. That's
another one. That's inside a zone. That's such a guard answer, man.
Inside zone. When you got a three backside, you're working a deuce combo with the tackle. Oh, yeah. Trying to move him out. Yeah. Wait. Inside zone.
Well, that's great because you get to kind of pass off that defensive tackle. You got to hope that your tackle's fast enough to get there and reach him. Or if he doesn't, uh-huh. He's the one getting chewed out. You know, here's
inside zone. Yep, that's
PJ did his job. Where were you? Who are you, buddy? I'm just saying the coach, the inside zone, the tackles get left out to dry. Go to mount in film session if they're not fast enough to get there, which a lot of times they're not. It's just like.
Yeah, inside zone. That's my dad and Powell, you know you got to put Powell in there. I really like outside zone. I'm still trying to get better at that, but that's one of my favorite teams to run to.
Now, PJ, a lot of people know you as a great football player. A lot of listeners that we have are going to learn a little more about you and how much you like football here. But, you know, as a person, you know, we like to get our listeners a little more inundated with, you know, who you are. So just a little lighthearted question here. What albums have you really enjoyed this past year, just music-wise?
To be honest, I really don't listen to music like that.
Oh, really?
Wow. Yeah, I like Brent Fayette. I don't know if y'all heard of him.
Yeah.
I really listen to Adele's new album. Sorry.
Really? Adele, there's no hate here. That's awesome.
To be honest, I really don't listen to music like that. I don't just sit and scroll and look through like people who come out with different albums or mixtapes or whatever. So it's not really
anything. Before a game, like, what do you not listen to music? You're not one of those people?
I do not.
Interesting.
You know, when I first came back from football, my first year I did, but after probably my junior year, I didn't listen to football. I mean, I didn't listen to music. I don't know. I just feel like I'm just self-motivated.
You're just better locked in that way also. You don't
need to. I like to stay calm, you know, before a game, you know, not to like, get too emotional.
What do you do Well, I was gonna say, what do you do before the game then? Like, what's your go to? You just kind of chill in your locker and
hydrate, just chill in my locker. You know, that's really it. I look at other people what they doing. You know, I get a laugh here and there. You got some teammates. They sing, they rap every word of the song, so they so loud sometimes.
There's the one linebacker who throws up.
Yeah, that too. Yeah. Oh, you got a DB dancing everywhere, so yeah.
Oh, and you're like, I'm wondering why they're cramping up in the third quarter. I'm like, well, you just played a quarter in the locker room beforehand. Put on a concert. I'm like, wait, let's just.
Yeah.
Oh, that's so funny.
All right, I got one more question for you, PJ, before we let you go. Another lighthearted question for you here, and definitely a lineman question. You know, living with Sean, we definitely ate a lot in our time in college, and I know linemen love to eat, obviously. If there was one food that you could just eat limitlessly, what would it be?
Spaghetti and meatballs.
Really? Spaghetti and meatballs. That's an interesting pick.
Favorite meal. I never get tired of it. I never get tired. Every time I come home, that's what I tell my mom.
Aren't you from a southern state, or am I crazy?
I ain't hear you.
Are you from a southern? Where? What state are you from?
I'm from Louisiana.
You're not picking any of the like Cajun food or anything like that. You're going.
Joe, don't get on an Italian jag, Joe. He can't let anybody else enjoy pasta. That's his problem.
It's a fair question.
No way. You're gonna come on now.
I'm not a big gumbo person.
Because I feel like everyone I talk to from Louisiana is like they swear by Cajun food, and
good. No, don't get me wrong. It's good. It's just I just rather spaghetti meatballs and like tacos or something.
He does his bit with everybody. He's expecting you to say like beignets or something. You stink, Joe. So it doesn't matter how big the bowl is for the spaghetti. It's just gonna get annihilated, basically.
Definitely.
Oh, that's great.
All right, PJ, that's all we have for you, man. Really appreciate you taking the time. Good luck at the CGS.
Thank you. I appreciate y'all having me on, though.
Yeah, of course. All right, have a good one, PJ.
You too.
Without the ones like you, who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you, with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.